Good morning. Passage this morning is found in John chapter 8. It's going to be the 12th and 30th verse. John chapter 8, 12th and 30th verse. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, not only thank you for the truth of the word, but I think you are the light that lights our lives. Lord, that when we are in darkness, when we don't know where to go, we don't know where to turn, that when we turn to you, that you make sense of a dark, chaotic world. Lord, and when things don't seem to be going right, when things are going wrong, and we watch the news, we read the newspaper, and we're just discouraged. Lord, we just thank you that there's light and there is hope. Lord, we just pray this morning that Jesus be lifted up. Lord, that we hear your word clearly. Lord, that any type of burden, any type of thing that would distract us, Lord, take that away from us. Lord, let us just keep our mind on you. And I pray these things now in your name. Amen. Passage of scripture is John chapter 8, the 12th verse, the 30th verse. I've entitled the message, Jesus, the Light in a Dark Place. Starting at the 12th verse, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. But I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know, neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father. These words he spoke to them in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Then he said again to them, I go away. You will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to you. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative. But I speak these things as the Father taught. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he spoke these things, many came to believe. So let me ask you this morning, what is the purpose of life? I mean, I know it sounds like a silly question, right? What is the purpose of light? Well, light illuminates darkness. It helps us see. If you get up in the middle of the night, you turn on, you flip the switch in the room, and all of a sudden you can see you're not stubbing your toe. You're not running into things. You're not stepping on the dog. You're not stepping on the cat's tail and hearing a screech at 2 a.m. So light illuminates darkness. It helps us to see where we're going, It helps us to understand where we're going in light. So let's give a couple examples of light. You know, you go, we don't use them anymore, but if you go back many years, people used torches. You know, they would get a stick, they'd wrap something on it, they'd light it, and it would illuminate their path. It wasn't a strong light, but it would illuminate where they were going. It gave them enough light to see. Well, then they started using lamps. And, you know, there's different types of lamps. And, you know, depending on where in the world, you know, they had lamps in the ancient Near East, the biblical world, they didn't put off a lot of light. You know, they just put a wick and oil, and it would pull up the oil to the flame. And it was a very small flame. It didn't let off a lot of light. Or you had lamps where they started to put lamps in devices where they would put mirrors on them so they would reflect out more light. The idea is that you could see more. It would give you a better place. And so, you know, as cities became more modern and sophisticated in the 19th century, they would have street lamps. And so people could walk around at night and there would be light. And so people could see, you know, they were less likely to be robbed because they, you know, you could see what was going on. You have the example of a lighthouse. Think about a lighthouse. Lighthouses, they have lights that can shine many miles out. You know, they say some of these lighthouses, that you could see their light 30 miles away. And what the lighthouse would do, it would let you know that you are coming up on potentially dangerous situations. And, you know, not only would the lighthouse have the light, but it would also have the horn. And then they would blow it at certain times, especially if there was fog. And it was to keep boats and ships away from crashing in or coming into areas that were not safe at a time. You know, modern times, we use flashlights, right? Lights go out in your house, you get a flashlight, or there's a storm, you get a flashlight, or you're out in the woods, you use a flashlight. You know, even now, you know, you think back many years, you come home late at night, and if your light wasn't on, you were fumbling around trying to get your key in the lock, or now you just use your phone, and we have lights on our phone. So all of these, you know, the purpose of all these different lights was to illuminate darkness. And here's the thing, Jesus lights our world, okay? He lights our world spiritually. It's how we see the world. It changes our perception. It's a bit like, you know, when we come to know Jesus, it's like putting on a new set of glasses and we see the world differently. If you go outside and put on sunglasses, it changes how you view the outside. All of a sudden, it's not as bright. You're able to see. And even some sunglasses, you know, they're like, polarized lenses. They actually, fishermen will use them because they can see better in the water. And so Jesus lights our world. So really bringing us to our first point this morning is that Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 12, very clear. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here's the thing. The world needs light, okay? And I'm not talking about just sun. I'm not talking about street lamps. I'm not talking about lights, which all these things, they're good things. Okay, these are very practical things in our world. But I'm talking about spiritually, our world needs light. We live in a crazy world. It is a dark world. You just watch the news, okay? Read the newspaper. You go on Facebook, you know, and even if we eliminate fake news or misinformation, we live in a dark world. Murder, hope, deception, you know, riots, just bad things happening in our world. And so our world needs light. It needs something different than what it is. Because if you look at the world and you don't have Jesus, what's left for our world? We're just going to continue. You know, we're going to continue to kill ourselves. Diseases are going to continue to kill people. They're going to continue to riot. You know, and human beings are going to fight against one another. And nations will wage war against other nations and kill thousands of people. And, you know, maybe and even millions of people. And what hope is there? The world needs the light of Jesus. So here's the thing. Not only does the world need the light of Jesus, but God provides light to those who accept Jesus. So it's just not about having light in our world, but it's also about accepting Jesus. When we accept Jesus, we see the world differently. Now the world looks differently. We're able to begin to experience the love of God. We're able to be transformed and renewed, that we no longer look at the world and we no longer see a place of hopelessness. We no longer see a place of despair. We see a place of hope. We see a place of restoration. And even in our dark, and when we see people in their darkest places, when we're in Jesus, we say, Jesus saved me. Jesus can save them. They may be in addiction, but Jesus is a God who breaks addiction. Jesus is a God who takes those who are in despair and depression, who can't get out of it. They can go see as many therapists as they can, and they never can get out of that depressive state. But when they meet Jesus, they are transformed, they are renewed, and God begins to do a new work in their life. So God provides light to those who accept Jesus. And not only does he provide it, but that light transforms us. It renews us. It changes us. Remember, we were not... How we see the world was not how its intended purposes was created. We were intended to be in fellowship with God. We were intended to be in union and in balance with all of nature. We were created to be in union and balance with other people. There was no war. There was no fighting. There was no, people didn't have to worry about droughts. They didn't have to worry about tornadoes. They didn't have to worry about natural phenomena, because that's not how God created the world. But when sin came in the world, it made the world unbalanced. The world became unbalanced. It became unhealthy. And now that the world fights against God, we fight against one another. We're in this constant cosmic struggle. And only is there freedom in Jesus. So Jesus is the light of the world. Here's the thing. Coming to our second point this morning. People will reject the light. It's amazing. God has provided light. He has provided hope. He has provided a way out of addiction. He has provided a way out of hopelessness. And yet people still reject it. Here in the passage, the first thing Jesus tells them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Now, it's very broad term. It really is a universal. It's referring to both men and women. But, so it could say, he or she who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have life. And how did the Pharisees respond? They said to them, you are testifying about yourself, Jesus. And not only that, Jesus, you're testifying about yourself, and your testimony is not true. And here's the thing. Guess what? We live in a world that has Jesus, okay? There's Bibles everywhere. There's preaching a lot, all of this stuff. And yes, people will reject the truth of Jesus found in the Bible. There's people who are just, hey, I'm not going to follow Jesus. I don't believe Jesus is true. I don't accept that the Bible's true. I think the Bible's wrong. I don't think that Jesus can save me. I think that's all a farce. Jesus was a good person. They said all kinds of things. Oh, Jesus was a gay magician. Seriously, this guy wrote a book, and he said his argument was that Jesus was a gay magician, okay? And so you have all these people that will reject the truth. It wasn't just the Pharisees who rejected Jesus. We reject Jesus in our own time. Jesus, you're not true. I don't believe Jesus actually lived. Jesus isn't who he says he is. Jesus isn't what the Bible says that he is. So you have all these things that they reject. Jesus says, hey, you know what? Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. But guess what? I don't testify about myself alone. The Father testifies about me as well. And, and in your law, it's interesting, he calls it your law, but it really is his law, because, Jesus he's the Word of God, right? It says he's the Word of God. He's also the author of Scripture. He's the author and finisher of our faith. But interesting, he tells them that in your law, if there are two men provide testimony, that makes it true, right? And so he says, I and my Father testify. You can't get a better testimony than Jesus and God the Father. That's the kind of testimony. If you're playing poker, that is your hand. You win. You can't be beat, okay? People are going to reject the Bible. And not only did people reject the Bible, people will misunderstand Jesus' teachings. So go down, verse 19. They were saying to him, "Where is your father?" And they don't get it right. And then again, they start asking, "Is he going to kill himself?" Verse 22, the Jews were saying, "Surely he will not kill himself." No, they don't understand what Jesus is saying, okay? And we have a lot of people today that twist the words of Jesus, okay? You see this? And it's just not today. Look at Islam, they trust the words, they twist the words of Jesus. Islam actually says that Jesus is going to come back and he is going to pronounce judgment on Christians. Okay. All throughout history, people will change what Jesus is saying, and you know, and they will tweak it. So, to give you an example of what we've done in our modern world, okay, this last week here, the church right over in Edina, last Sunday, they had a woman pastor. She got up and she pronounced the Sparkle Creed. You're like, what in the world is the Sparkle Creed? All right. The Sparkle Creed is a updating of the Apostles' Creed. Maybe you don't know what the Apostles' Creed is. The Apostles' Creed was created very early on. And what it was a way for Christians to define who Jesus was. And so I'm going to read to you the Apostles' Creed first, okay? It says, "We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." Okay. There's nothing in that you can find fault with. All of it is found in Scripture. And that is the point of the Apostles' Creed, that it would take and it would surmise Scripture and put it into one simple creed that Christians could recite. Okay. The Sparkle Creed is a response to that from LGBTQI plus all that stuff. And it's the response. This is their response to that, saying we're going to contemporize Jesus. All right. So this is where they misunderstand Jesus. So here's the Sparkle Creed. "I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love, so beloved, let us love. I believe in glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen." That's the Sparkle Creed. Okay. Now, I'm not going to exegete and parse that. Okay. So, no, I'll just tell you the first thing. The Apostles' Creed starts off, "We believe." How does the Sparkle Creed out? "I believe." Okay. And so the emphasis is now is on myself, not on we. The emphasis is on Jesus. And I think they're confusing Jesus with Joseph and his marvelous coat, you know, his marvelous tunic. You know, Joseph had a marvelous tunic, a multicolored coat, right? But this is where we see that people misunderstand Jesus' teachings. They start to adapt teachings to themselves. And so here's the thing. As Christians, okay, as believers in Jesus, the Bible should shape our ideology. It should shape how we think. It should shape what we believe, okay? And not the other way around. We don't get to bring our presuppositions and our ideology to scriptures and begin to form it and change it so it fits our modern lifestyle. Maybe we don't like things that scripture said. Maybe we wish that things would or that God would not be so hard on adulterers. But God has said these things for a reason. He's trying to keep right order, and he's trying to keep relationship balance. You remember, one of the things about the Garden of Eden is it was made perfect. It was made in God's shalom and made in peace. And everything is in unity. Everything is in balance. And so we talk about ecology today, and, you know, ecology, and that our ecosystems and the earth is becoming unbalanced. And we talk about invasive species. Well, here's the thing. God from the beginning had an intended order of balance and unity and working together. That has been tossed. It's been radically overturned because of sin. And so there's people who don't, they misunderstand Jesus. I was just talking to a pastor, small town Iowa, small town America. These are the bastions of conservative thought, we think, right? And there and then, and of all places, on all days of the week, they have something called Witchy Wednesday. I kid you not, okay? It's posted in their newspaper. And on Witchy Wednesday, you can go down and they joke, oh, we don't have cauldrons and we're not pronouncing spells. No, they're not. But you can go down there and they will give you readings that they're going to speak into your life. And I don't know if I really want them folks speaking into my life, because, you know, who are they hearing from? What are they telling you? And they're like, oh, you're going to have all of this fun. And see, it's this overturning, this rejection of the gospel, okay? But they're saying there's Christians who go to these things. Oh, they're fun to go to. Hold up. I'm confused, you know. Scripture doesn't tell us that we can go ahead and be part of and do those things. But the reason is, God tells us not to do these things. He's not trying to steal your joy. But if you were going to drink something poisonous, something that would harm you, hopefully someone would tell you, hey, don't do that. That's unhealthy for you. That's going to make you sick. That's going to potentially kill you. Well, this is what happens when Christians begin to partake in those things. They're drinking, they are ingesting poison. These are things that they should be part of. The other thing is, when people reject the light, is they don't know Jesus. And so here, verse 25, they say, the Pharisees are talking to him, okay, to Jesus. They say to him, who are you? Really? Who are you? We've been arguing with you, okay? They're arguing. The Pharisees have been sending people to Jesus. They've been arguing with him for some time. They've been watching him. Back in chapter 7, they're sending people and they're debating with him. And here now they're saying, who are you? Well, here's, and they know who he is. It's a bit, they're using kind of a rhetorical question. They are questioning. And he tells them, hey, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? He says, I have many things to speak to you, verse 26, concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and these things which I have heard, I speak to them. He says, they don't realize, verse 27, so they didn't realize he's talking about the Father. He says, but when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things that my Father sent me, and he who sent me is with me. And he has not left me alone, and I will always do things. Jesus is saying, hey, the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm saying, the things that you see me doing, the healings and all the miracles that you see me perform, I'm not doing this on my own accord. I'm not doing this because I think it's cool. I'm not doing it so I can be popular with you. I'm doing these things because that's what God has instructed me to do. This is what I saw the Father do. I am doing the will of the Father, okay? But people don't know Jesus. Now, sometimes, why don't they know Jesus? Maybe they've never heard of Jesus. Okay, that's very simple. But I think that also leaves a burden to us that, hey, we have to share the gospel. We have to tell people about Jesus. You know, here's the thing. Your faith is not like this secret thing. If you've ever seen the movie A Good Year, it's a good movie. It's with Russell Crowe. And his uncle's giving him advice in the movie. He's saying, A blue suit will make the man. But even better than a blue suit is the tailor, you know, who tailors a suit. And he said, when you find a good tailor, he said, never reveal his name, even under pain of death. Hey, your faith is not like your tailor, where you don't want people to come and find your tailor, and because you don't want to wait weeks for to get it. Here's the thing, Jesus, he can speak to you, he can speak to them, he can speak to the person down the street, he can speak to your nephew, he can speak to your friend, you know, he can speak to someone in Asia, he can do all this at the same time, and he can move, and how, you know, the Bible says that God is omniscient, you know, he knows all things, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere all at once, he is an amazing God, he's powerful, he's supernatural, he's above and beyond all that we can imagine and think, and so we don't have to keep him to ourselves, because we're worried about, what if I have a need to get a prayer through, and, you know, my nephew, my children have been in an accident, my friend, my mom, something bad has happened, and they're sick, and they're dying, and I don't want to share my faith, because what if in that time the line to heaven is clogged up, or, you know, the line to heaven is busy, or it's like the internet, well, there's a lot of traffic, there's a lot of prayer traffic going up to heaven that we can't get there. No, that's not how it works, okay? And so we have to share our faith. Because if you don't tell them, who will? If we don't tell them, they're not going to hear. But here's the thing. Don't be discouraged. When you tell someone about Jesus and they reject it, okay? Their flesh is going to reject it. Their flesh, you know, the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit, okay? And because the flesh wars against the spirit, you know, the flesh wants to do its own thing. It does not want to be captive to the things of God. And so there's this fight within it. And so when they reject it, don't be mad. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Keep praying for those folks. Bombard heaven with prayers. Lift them up. But people won't know Jesus. Third point. People believe in God because Jesus is the light. Okay. So this is the map. You want to know what are the two key verses? In this passage is verse 12 and verse 30, okay? Verse 30 can't happen in our lives unless Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus must light our way to God, okay? Verse 12, Jesus said, again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have eternal light. Verse 30, and he spoke these things, and many came to believe in him. They can't believe in him if Jesus isn't the light, because Jesus is the light. He shines the path. He's not like a flashlight where the battery burns out. He's not like a, the light in your house where if you lose power, you no longer have light, okay? He's not like a torch that burns out. He's not like a light on your phone that can eventually die with the battery. Jesus' light shines forever. It's there. It illuminates brightly. And not only it's true light. It's the truth. Eventually, in verse 31, which we're jumping into next week, it says it's the truth that will set us free. Getting into, you know, jumping ahead. That it will make us free. That light points to us. It brings us to God. It illuminates our path. Going into really closing out. Here's our conclusion. Our big idea is that Jesus leads us to God. That's the big idea here. And this is kind of the whole thing of John. John's whole gospel is that we believe in Jesus, and that we are transformed by God, that we are renewed by God, that we come in right relationship with God. So here's our big idea. Jesus leads us to God. Not in this, he leads us community, but he leads our wayward children to God. He will lead our difficult neighbor to God. He can lead our difficult co-workers to God. And we have to be willing to share. We have to shine the light. You know, our lights should be reflected. Our lights should be mirrors. We should be filled up with Jesus that the light comes out of us. So Jesus shows us the way to God. You know, Jesus is God, but he also shows us the way to the Father, that we can be in right relationship with him. He's Trinity, that, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God revealed in three divine persons or personalities. Jesus leads us to God. He shows us the way to God. But not only does that, he transforms us. Jesus helps us live in a sinful, chaotic world that doesn't make sense. Our world is sinful. Okay? Sin is abounding. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's sin. Okay? As defined by the Bible, a lot of people, we want to change how sin is defined, right? But we live in a sinful world. It's a chaotic world, okay? The world is just full of chaos. Riots, wars, murder, rape, just terrible things happening. You know, good things, you know, bad things happening to good people. The world doesn't make sense. The world only makes sense when you follow Jesus. He takes off the blinders. He helps us to see. He puts on a new set of glasses. Really what he does is he restores our vision to 20/20, okay? He helps us to see the world as it ought to be. He helps us to see people how they ought to be, okay? Not a lot of times we see people for how our lenses see them or how they want to portray themselves. But Jesus lets us see them for who they are, who he wants them to be. And so Jesus helps us to live in a sinful, chaotic world that doesn't make sense. And what Jesus is doing is he's restoring us to the peace. He's restoring us to the shalom of God. He's bringing us back to an Eden-like state that we can be in complete and total balance with God. And not only God, but the world around us. Not just people, but the physical world. That, you know, we are reunited and put back into an Eden-like state. Jesus is a light in a dark place. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you're the light of the world. You're not a light. You are the light, God. And you shine in a dark place. Not like a flashlight. Not like something that's partially, you illuminated, God. You give us clarity and understanding. God, I pray that you just speak to us, that you move on us. Sweet God, help us to be evangelistic. Help us to share our faith. Help us to tell others, God. Help us to illuminate and explain the gospel clearly, God. But Lord, we ask that you touch us, each and every one of us. And God, for those who don't know you, God, let them give their life to you. Touch them. God, restore us. Bring us back into right relationship with you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.